NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Weilin Wong.
And I'm Adrian Ma, and this is Indicators of the Week.
And this week, we are joined again by our colleague from Planet Money, Mary Child. Welcome back. Yay!
Yay, thank you for having me. I just couldn't stay away, and I think you know why. I had to be here this week because it was a historic week for interest rates.
Huge week for interest rates. Interest rates going up and sideways and down and twirling, twirling, twirling.
We're going to get into this interesting news after the break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor HubSpot. More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Doing business has never felt harder. But you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You just need HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: higher quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.
Support for NPR and the following message come from W.W. Norton & Company, publishers of The Road to Freedom, Economics and the Good Society by Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph E. Stiglitz. The Road to Freedom, available now wherever books are sold. This message comes from NPR sponsor Arctic Wolf. Their researchers have released the Arctic Wolf Lab's 2024 threat report. Why will 2024 be a volatile year for cybersecurity? Learn more and get your copy now at arcticwolf.com/NPR.
Indicators of the Week, Interest Rate Edition. Weilin, you're first up with an indicator from Japan.
That's right. Although I should mention that Mary and I almost came to blows over who would get to do this indicator.
That's literally true. And if we had been in the same city, I would have won.
Oh, really?
I mean, no. I think you're really strong. But I do want to say this is the best indicator, not just of this week, but of like many weeks. This is a really, really good one.
Oh, okay. Now I really feel the pressure to like
you
sell
should.
It.
You so should. It's a good one.
Okay. So my indicator is a range. It's 0 to 0.1%, which may not sound like very much, but this narrow range actually represents a seismic shift in global finance. It is the Bank of Japan's new range for interest rates. So this week, the bank ended its era of negative interest rates. Borrowing costs had actually been under zero since 2016.
Under zero.
Yeah, so think about it this way. We're used to a banking system where our banks pay interest on deposits. With Japan's negative interest rate policy, certain banks in the country actually had to pay the Bank of Japan to hold their deposits.
Take my money, please. Like that.
Right. It's like, and here's some money for you to hold my money, which is so wacky. But see, on the flip side, negative interest rates also means it's very, very cheap to borrow money. So this was a radical way to encourage spending and borrowing.
And the reason Japan had done this was because its economy really was struggling for years and years to grow. Inflation has been too low over there.
Exactly. And, you know, this tiny interest rate hike, you know, to bring borrowing costs above zero is a sign that the Bank of Japan now believes its economy is on better footing. You know, growth is looking more sustainable. There was just a round of wage increases. So you don't have this threat of deflation or stagnation.
It's so exciting. And it also has like huge effects around the world for the way investment money flows, which affects us here in the U.S.
Yeah, it's still really early. The interest rate hike just happened this week. But, you know, for years, if you were a Japanese investor, you had to look outside of the country if you wanted to really make any money at all. And that meant you were putting your money in things like U.S. Treasury bonds. Now, maybe Japanese investors will be keeping more of their money at home.
This also marks the end of this kind of bad idea trade that went on for decades, where people lost money for years and years and years because they would bet that interest rates in Japan simply couldn't go lower. And yet they kept going down. And so people would put this bet on and then be wrong and put the bet on and be wrong. And it went on for so long and it was so ruinous for traders and hedge fund managers that they started calling this trade the Widowmaker. Although I should note that I know of no actual deaths from it.
Dramatic. All right. Our interest rate trio is off to a pretty spicy start. Mary, what is your indicator of the week for us?
Well, I have nothing. I've been so thoroughly trounced this week that I actually have nothing, because that is what the U.S. Federal Reserve did this week. Oh.
Oh, okay. Twist.
Back in the game. So basically, over the past year, the Fed seems to have done a good job of taming inflation with relatively little cost to the economy and to the labor market. Y'all have covered this on the show, so I'm preaching to the choir, but it's been this balancing act. And then, for the past few months, there were these data points that cropped up that showed that maybe the fight against inflation isn't totally over. Prices started ticking up a little bit faster than the Fed would like. Wage gains looked a little hotter than the Fed might like. So there was this question going into the Fed's meeting this week as to whether or not they were going to stick with the plan that they'd been broadcasting since like December of 3 interest rate cuts this year, or if they were going to rein that back to just 2 cuts this year. And they stuck with their plan. They held interest rates where they were and projected 3 rate cuts in 2024. So everything totally unchanged. Sit back.
It was like a ton of buildup, and then we just ended up in exactly the same place as we were basically in December.
That's right. It's nothing. Yes. But Chair Jerome Powell didn't want everyone to get the wrong message from all this nothingness. He made sure to underscore that they could keep rates high if that's appropriate.
The committee does not expect it will be appropriate to reduce the target range until it has gained greater confidence that inflation is moving sustainably down toward 2%.
That 2% target really isn't so far off anymore. As y'all have covered on this show, last year everyone was talking about the economy having a hard landing or a soft landing, or we definitely have to have a recession or a huge spike in unemployment, that all of these things were just necessary to tame inflation. And none of that happened. Maybe Powell is just really good at this job, or maybe the economy has changed structurally in ways that we don't understand yet, but inflation has come down and the economy has not totally freaked or recessed. So the Fed does nothing. We love to see it.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to get credit in my job for doing nothing.
I'll give you some credit right now.
I will do my best to earn it by slacking off.
And I should say, for what it's worth, the Bank of England did basically the same nothing this week. It held its rate steady too, and it said that things are moving in the right direction, i.e. towards a place where it could also cut rates.
And speaking of going across the pond, I think we'll stay in Europe, right, Adrian?
Right. So my indicator comes out of Switzerland, and going in a slightly different direction here, right? We talked about Japan raising rates and the Fed kind of sitting tight. Switzerland's central bank, also called the Swiss National Bank, is actually cutting rates.
Wow.
And they're actually dialing their rates down for the first time in about a decade to just 1.5%. That is my indicator, 1.5%, which is real low compared to most other wealthy nations.
Except for Japan hanging out down there at 0 to 0.1%.
Well, yeah, that is a good point, except for Japan. But what else I find interesting here is that this rate cut came as kind of a surprise to a lot of economists who are watching this stuff. And the image I have in my mind is like, if you imagine central banks of the world as runners in a race, they're all sort of crouching at the starting line. And most people have their attention on the U.S. or the EU, right? Like, when are they going to move? When are they going to start taking off? And then out of nowhere, pew! Switzerland just takes off running, and other people are just watching them like, huh, what? And that is basically what happened on Thursday.
So why did they move so surprisingly this time?
So there are a couple of reasons for this, right? And one is that in Switzerland, inflation is really low. If you think about it, a lot of other countries have been trying to get their inflation down to 2% by raising interest rates. But Switzerland is well past that goal at this point. In fact, recently they clocked in at 1.2% inflation.
Whoa, that's the other side of two.
Yeah, any lower and you're going to be in Japan territory.
Be careful.
It's true. So a couple of years ago, Switzerland actually did see historically high inflation for Switzerland, which was about 3.5%, which is actually pretty low when you compare it to what other countries were seeing with double-digit inflation numbers, right? And there are a variety of reasons for this. For example, Switzerland has price regulations on a bunch of goods and services. They also get most of their electricity from hydro and nuclear power. So when gas prices spiked, they weren't really affected that much. And so inflation is low there. And this is in the background as Switzerland's making its interest rate decision. Another reason is that the Swiss economy has been pretty meh the past year, especially compared to the U.S.
So it's like their economic porridge is too cold.
I love that we have interest rate Goldilocks here today.
That's right. And meanwhile, you know, Swiss bank officials, they're expecting this sort of sluggishness to continue for the next year. And so cutting interest rates, making borrowing cheaper is one way for them to try and give the economy just a little juice.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Corey Bridges with engineering by Valentina Rodriguez Sanchez. It was fact-checked by Sarah Juarez and edited by Kate Kincannon. The Indicator is a production of NPR.
This election season, you can expect to hear a lot of news. Some of it meaningful, much of it not. Give the Up First podcast 15 minutes, sometimes a little less, and we'll help you sort it out. What's going on around the world and at home? 3 stories, 15 minutes, Up First every day. Listen every morning, wherever you get your podcasts.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, American Express. Take your business further with the smart and flexible Amex Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits that help unlock more value from your business purchases. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Humana. Employees are the heartbeat of your business. That's why Humana offers group dental, vision, life, and disability plans designed to protect them. Exceptional service, broad networks, and modern benefits. That's the power of human care.